When he said in Luke 9:23 that if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. Every day. He never told us to read the Bible every day. He told us to pray always. But something he told us to do every day was taking up the cross. And when I was a young Christian, I went to an assembly where I never heard one message on the cross in the 6 years I was there. And then I went to another group of assemblies where they used to speak about the cross, but nobody took it up. Nobody knew what it was. It was just a nice expression, taking up the cross. It's like some difficult English word which you don't know the meaning of. And you hear it and you just don't look up the dictionary. And you think that is the meaning. That's not really the meaning. I find for many Christians, taking up the cross is like that. I want to show you a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 12. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus said, you'll hardly ever hear a sermon on this verse, I'll tell you that. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. I challenge you to find a message on that on the internet or in television. Very rare, almost impossible to find someone who will preach on that verse, because people don't like to hear what Jesus said. And I want to tell you something. Of all the statements that Jesus made, the statement that is repeated the most number of times in the four Gospels, 7 times, is this statement. Are you surprised that the devil has made a lot of people ignore it completely? Naturally. If that is the statement that Jesus made that is repeated by the Holy Spirit 7 times in the four Gospels, more than any other statement that Jesus made, you can be pretty sure the devil is going to make people ignore it. You must be born again. Jesus never said that. It's not repeated as often. He said it, but it's not repeated as often as this verse. Haven't you heard lots of sermons on you must be born again? It's very important. But it's only found in one chapter, in John chapter 3. But this statement is found in every gospel, in one form or the other. What does it mean to hate my life? Now, in the original Greek language in which the New Testament is written, there are different words for our physical life and our soul life. You know, we have a physical life and we have a soul life. And I'll explain the difference between the two. Physical life is this which we understand, our physical body. It dies physically. We are buried and put in the grave. And he's not talking about our hating our physical life. That means you don't feed your body, you don't take a bath, and you don't you neglect this physical body. He's not talking about that at all. We're not supposed to hate our physical body. We're supposed to care for it. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. How can he tell you to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit? How can he tell you to hate the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to hate my physical life. In fact, in Ephesians 5, it says there's no man who has hated his own flesh, his physical flesh. Nobody. It says you must love your wife like you love your own body. Everybody loves his body. So this is not the word used here. He's talking about our soul life. And once you understand that, you understand what to take up the cross is to put that soul life to death. To hate that soul life. And it's because I love this soul life that I get offended when somebody corrects me. I've seen numerous believers in our churches who have sat here for 20, 30 years who still get offended. Brothers and sisters, they get offended. Why? Because they have never understood in 30 years what it means to hate their soul life. Oh, they hear about the cross, they hear about the cross. As I said, it's like hearing some English word, you don't know the meaning of it, and you assume you know it. You don't know it. And I tell you, this is a reason for the lack of spiritual progress, because it's through the way of the cross that our capacity expands. You know how a child's body grows and his mind begins to expand. In the same way, our spiritual capacity from the time we are born again must expand. It's like a little cup in the beginning where we can have a little bit of water. And even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's only a cup that's filled. God wants it to become the size of a bucket, the size of a tub, the size of a lake, the size of a river, and finally the size of many rivers that are filled. So the fullness of the Spirit is something we've got to keep on experiencing in greater and greater measure. But this capacity will increase only if you know what it is to take up the cross every day. If you know what it is to hate your soul life. If I hate my soul life, I will never get offended. No matter who says what to me or who doesn't say what. There are people who get offended if you don't shake their hands. I wonder if such people are even born again. There are some people who get offended if you don't smile at them on a Sunday morning. You think such people are born again? They don't have a clue about Christianity. They are unconverted people with a whitewash of religion and sit in the church. Getting offended is the kindergarten lesson. And I want to tell every one of you in the name of Jesus, if you get offended, you're still in the kindergarten. And many of you have not got out of the kindergarten, I have to say that. I have personally seen people who get offended, who've been in the church 20, 30 years. They're in the kindergarten. You know, there's a gloom about their face when you correct them or they hear something bad said about them. They're so happy whenever somebody says something good about them. They're in the kindergarten. They love their soul life. They love to hear people praise them. You know, you love to hear people praise you. You are in the kindergarten. You don't hate your soul life. A man who's put his soul life to death, he couldn't care less for the praise of people, and he's not offended when people criticize him. And I'll tell you something. I have been corrected in my younger days much more than any of you have been corrected in your entire life. And I decided I would die. People have called me worse names than any of you have been called. You put all the bad names, all of you got together, and people have called me worse names than that. It doesn't disturb me. People have praised me more than any of you have been praised. It doesn't make a difference to me because I know their opinion is fit for the garbage bin. I know it's only God's opinion about me that matters. So I appreciate their words of appreciation. I don't despise them. I don't try to have an artificial humility when somebody comes and thanks me or appreciates me. I accept it, fine, but I know in my heart of hearts, it's God's opinion that matters. You have to give an opportunity to people, you know, to express their appreciation or give you a gift, take it, but don't set your heart on it and begin to think you're a wonderful man because of that. Oh no. It's because our soul life has not been hated and put to death that we have so many problems in our Christian life. And I tell you, that's the reason why you so often get discouraged. That's why you get depressed. I was like that. You know, 35 years ago, I used to be so depressed, so frequently, more than most of you anyway. And I'll tell you the honest truth before God today, I am never depressed or discouraged. Never, no matter what happens or what doesn't happen. I didn't even get discouraged when I got into court and stood there. Because I hate my soul life. I decided long ago that I can never follow Jesus if I don't hate my soul life. It's not enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I don't hate my soul life, it says here that I will, if you love your life, you will lose it. If I love my reputation, why are you disturbed when your reputation has been taken away because somebody said something bad about you? It's because you love your soul life. If it completely does not affect you that somebody is spoiling your reputation, then you hate your soul life. And God allows many things to happen in our life to help us to hate our soul life, but we fight against it and we don't realize we're fighting against God. We're not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And so He's not able to exalt us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you. I want to be exalted. I don't want to be exalted to become some king or president or even be exalted in the church to get some title as some reverend or even recognized by others as some prophet. It means nothing to me. It means absolutely zero. But I do want to be exalted by God over sin, over my self-life, over Satan, over depression, gloom, discouragement, jealousy, all of that. I want to be exalted above all that. That's what I want to be exalted over. And the Bible says, God will exalt you if you humble yourself under His mighty hand. And His mighty hand is those circumstances by which He takes away my reputation. He makes people do harm to me and speak evil to me. And I humble myself and say, God, that's not that man. That's not Judas Iscariot. That is the cup which my Father has sent me. Shall I not drink it? You say that. Follow Jesus.